Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie. Don't be alarmed, but I think there's a guy following you. Maybe we should get that guard dog we talked about? Nothing too scary. Maybe like a Bichon with an attitude? You know, Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats at no extra cost, so... Wait, the guy stood up when I stood up. He's on the phone. He's looking right at me. Oh, wait, it's just my reflection. Don't tell anyone about this.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melodies.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, along with Jay King, postgame after the Celtics beat the Indiana Pacers 109-102. Lots to get to today. We're talking about the starters not getting as much rest as we had hoped, but Isaiah Thomas having a big fourth quarter, some of the substitution patterns, a weird lineup that did a lot of great things, but some lineups that did not do very great things, and a look at the upcoming schedule, plus the mystery machine. We'll do that later on, figure out which five guys get to ride on Jaylen Brown's mystery machine. But first, Jay King, Celtics, 109-102 win, but look at the minutes distribution. We're hoping that Isaiah Thomas could have played less than 30 minutes, that Al Horford could have played less than 30 minutes. That's something that I had hoped, considering the flow of this game, that they would have been able to avoid. But, thankfully Isaiah Thomas exists, and thankfully Isaiah Thomas could go off and score a bunch of fourth quarter points, like normal 14 fourth quarter points on 4 of 7 shooting.
Yeah. You would hope he wouldn't have to come in and dominate the fourth quarter again, but it's nice that he can do that. The way the Celtics played in the second quarter, just completely dominant, 29-9. They outscored the Pacers in that frame, and then the way they extended the lead to 17 during the third quarter, there was probably hope, like, okay, we've got a back-to-back with Russell Westbrook coming up, let's get these guys some rest. Instead, Terry Rozier tried to throw a couple of alley-oops to Jaylen Brown. Neither of them worked. The Pacers came back, scored to cut it to 11. CJ Miles got steaming hot. Jeff Teague had a pretty nice game, and all of a sudden, you're in a game, and you need Isaiah Thomas to go bonkers. And he does, but...
which he always does.
And one of the issues that's come up lately is the all-bench lineup. And that's the one with Smart, Rozier, Jaylen Brown, Kelly Olynyk, and Jonas Jerebko. And right now, that group's just not scoring. It came in at the end of the first quarter, went scoreless for a few minutes. It came in again in the fourth quarter, a few more ragged plays. So that group right now, it entered the game scoring 83.5 points per 100 possessions, which is terrible. Small sample size, 36 minutes, but it's been bad. Rozier's shooting has been bad for a while now. Smart's has been bad for his entire life, and that group just really hasn't been able to put the ball in the bucket. Thankfully, they unveiled a new lineup at the start of the second quarter that really smacked the Pacers around a little bit.
Yeah, so that lineup was Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jay Crowder, Kelly Olynyk, Jonas Jerebko. So basically Marcus Smart and four forwards, a bunch of 4 or 3/4s. That was an interesting lineup that went on a 17-0 run, I believe it was, and turned Indiana over seven times. And that was really, they outscored the Pacers 29-9 in the second quarter. And everybody all of a sudden went nuts. Like, it took Brad Stevens this long to find this lineup. I will say, I think Indiana was very complicit in that run. I don't think that Indiana is anywhere close to finding themselves. I think Indiana and Larry Bird may regret the coaching change a bit, because they look lost. They look frustrated. They don't look like a team that's ready to make any sort of noise in the East. So, but look, that's one thing for a team to look that bad. It's another thing to take advantage of it, which the Celtics hadn't done for much of the season. So kudos to that group for whipping off that run and putting the Celtics up comfortably, a lead that they would pretty much maintain for the rest of the game.
Yeah, and that group, you know, hadn't played a single second entering the night. When you look at that group, it's like it's a pretty intriguing group, because it might be the most versatile defensive lineup the Celtics can throw out there. Like, all the guys that can switch screens, from Smart to Brown to Crowder to Jarebko, those guys can all handle like four positions at least for a few seconds in a switch. So super versatile, super athletic, super long. And then Kelly Olynyk was there to provide his positional defense.
We can't say that without laughing anymore.
Sam has he loves that Kelly Olynyk positional defense.
It's just
awesome. Real. It is.
Of course it is.
Defender. But yeah. So it's an intriguing group. And then I think at the other end, it's kind of a way to maximize what Smart does. We've talked a lot about how he's better with the ball in his hands. And when he's playing with four bigger guys and three shooters and then Brown, who's shot reasonably well this year, he is able to have the other team's smallest guard on him for once. You know, when he's next to Isaiah Thomas, when he's next to Avery Bradley, when he's next to Terry Rozier, a lot of the times he gets the bigger guard on him. And he had Aaron Brooks on him, and he went to the post a little bit. He did some damage down low, made some nice passes out of the paint. So I kind of feel like that lineup might be a way to untap Smart's best, where the ball's in his hands and he's got a small guy on him, and he can kind of use his strength and his playmaking rather than, you know, spot up shooting and all that. So it's definitely an intriguing group. They won't always be that good, but I'm intrigued by it. I want to see more of it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because of the spacing that's available, especially with Olynyk, Jarebko, and Crowder. Brown, not so much, but, you know, you could always tinker with that. Maybe that's an opportunity to put Horford in that mix. I just wonder how much of this is a function of the Celtics' schedule, because they played a lot of games. They still continue to play a lot of games. They play again tomorrow night, or tonight when people are listening to this. They play Friday night against Oklahoma City, which is part of why we're so kind of upset at how this game went at the end, where the Celtics just couldn't really quite close Indiana out. It would have been nice to have a little bit more rest going up against Russell Westbrook and the Thunder. But they play them Friday night. Then they play the Knicks on Sunday, Memphis Tuesday, at Cleveland Thursday, and then Miami Friday on another back-to-back before they get at least a couple of days off again. I think that Brad Stevens is looking at that schedule and making some different substitutions based on trying to get some guys some rest and minimize minutes and maybe playing different combinations, different ways to find, like you said, the all bench lineup or something that can play some sustained minutes while Horford and Thomas sit together. And I think that's, lineup wise, that's Brad Stevens' biggest challenge, because you want those guys to play together a lot, but you also need one of them on the floor basically at all times for the Celtics to be able to score, because when both of those guys are off the floor, everything just falls off a cliff. But you can't do that all the time, every game for 82 games, especially during a run like this. So I think the lineup that we saw tonight is part of Brad Stevens' challenge. How do you win and find ways to score and play defense with this group?
People used to tell me
since you're not
detail was crazy.
You're not completely like talent laden across the board. How do you find some of these guys? How do you unlock that potential, like you said, for some of these guys to maybe sit Al and Isaiah for some stretch of time?
Yeah, and something that's interesting is that in each of the last two games, Terry Rozier has only played 7 minutes each game. And we talked about his shooting, what was earlier. He's still not a pure point guard. So if he's not shooting well and he doesn't have the length like Jaylen Brown does, he doesn't have the playmaking skills other guys do, then he's not providing a ton of value. And I'm not suggesting he gets squeezed out of the rotation, but if that lineup that we talked about earlier, the versatile switching lineup, becomes a thing, Terry Rozier is not in that. And his minutes might be something to watch moving forward. He hasn't scored over the last two games against Memphis and then against Indiana. 14 minutes total, 0 for 7 from the field, 0 for 4 from the three-point arc. His numbers have gone south for a while now. Obviously, he had that nice half against San Antonio, but he's had a rough shooting spell here for a while now.
Yeah, he has. And tonight, in a 7-point win, he was a minus 12. Very telling. And he had plays like that stretch where the Celtics – this is where the Celtics could have gotten Isaiah more rest, and this really hurt when they got two straight turnovers, two straight fast break opportunities, and both ended with completely horrible Rozier alley-oops in an effort to get highlight plays to Jaylen Brown. Now, they might have been the right idea, but not necessarily the right execution. And if you're going to throw that alley-oop in that situation, you got to set the defense up a little bit better. Take it in just one more dribble or something, or just do another, have another pass. The Celtics could have stretched the lead out to, I believe it was 15 at that point. And instead, Indiana goes on a little bit of a run. And that's the difference between Isaiah Thomas getting to rest and Isaiah Thomas playing extra minutes. And who knows how that manifests itself in the long run. Maybe it doesn't matter, but that's still important stuff. And so, look, Rozier, still a second-year player, still figuring things out. We got a little hyped up about him in the preseason and over summer league. And I think he still has those skills. Those still exist. He's going through a little bit of a slump. He's having a little bit of a confidence issue, probably something. And hopefully he can get out of that. But I got to tell you, though, one thing about Rozier that bugs me is his repeated use of social media to show his his partying and stuff like that. It just happens from time to time. The other night, he posted the night before a game. He's out there and he shows himself drinking on Instagram. Like, dude, you got a game the next day. That kind of stuff, that's not cool. And he needs to learn a lesson there. Okay, fine. If you can go out and party and wake up the next day and play, I guess that's okay, I guess. But if you're having this kind of stretch, you shouldn't be posting Instagram stories showing yourself partying and drinking. It's just, you shouldn't be doing that. So I think Terry Rozier, again, young player, needs to grow up a little bit. I believe in the kid. I think he's got the skills, and we've seen him flash those skills, and it's just going to take more time, but I think he does have some maturing to do as well.
I didn't see the Instagram story. When was that, last night?
No, a couple nights ago.
So they didn't have a game yesterday.
It was the night before the previous game.
The night before the last game. Okay. I mean, as long as it's within limits, I don't usually hate stuff like that. They don't play until 7 o'clock at night. Like, normally there's a lot of time, 7 or 8 o'clock at night. I think that was a late game, wasn't it? So usually there's a lot of time.
Yeah, it was an 8 o'clock start.
There's a lot of time to sleep. As long as it's within limits and you keep it okay.
I'm with you.
Putting it on Instagram is just stupid because people can read into that, and it's just not smart. Like, as you said, it's just that is something that, and he did some stupid Instagram stuff over the summer when he had the stripper stuff. When he went to the strip club and put some naked strippers on his Snapchat.
Yeah.
Terry. Look, someone's got to have a talk with Terry and tell him that he doesn't need to share every part of his life.
Right.
Just share the parts that should be shared. If you're going to drink before a game, do it wisely and drink just a small bit and drink by yourself. Not by yourself. but drink.
Are you saying there's something wrong with that?
Everyone know about it.
Is that frowned upon?
Drinking by yourself? I mean,
let's go past that.
I don't want to tell a guy, like, if you're going to drink, sit on the couch and do it all by yourself.
You've just described my entire life. But no, seriously, if I actually cared a lot about this, I would have led a podcast with it. This is just an, oh, by the way, I'm not telling a guy how to live his life. And having a drink or two and being out and relaxing, that's totally cool, man. I get it, man. That's fine. And NBA life, you're up till 2-3 in the morning. You're having fun. You're relaxing. The next day you get to sleep. He's a young kid. He can bounce back real quick. I'm just saying, a little bit of recognition, self-awareness. You're going through this slump. Everybody's watching. This is all out there. Just kind of watch what you're doing. Just don't put it out there is what I'm saying. But back to on the court stuff. I think that he still has a lot of maturing to do on the court. He's still figuring that stuff out too. And, you know, we came into the season where Danny Ainge was saying, yeah, he's going to be our backup point guard. And then it's turned out that Marcus Smart is absolutely the backup point guard. And he should be the backup point guard. And that maybe Rozier expected to play a certain role, and now that's going to change. And there's some growing pains with that. So I still believe in him. I think he's going to be okay in the long run. He's just got to adjust and figure this stuff out. So
we didn't even plan that, Terry Rozier. That was just completely off the cuff Terry Rozier talk. So
yeah, that's, well, when we are, you're the Rain and Jays.
Shout out to us for spitballing a nice little Terry Rozier talk.
We got it, man. We can spitball with any of these guys. Like, how about this? Let's spitball about poor Al Jefferson. That guy, man, the shell of Al Jefferson out there is just sad to see. When Kelly Olynyk is blowing by you like Russell Westbrook out there.
Hey, to be fair, Al Jefferson in his prime would have got blown by Kelly Olynyk just the same.
True. True.
Like, that is a guy who ever moved his feet well. No. But the Celtics, they targeted it. To me, the more telling part was like Amir Johnson running pick and rolls with Amir Johnson time after time, and he was throwing home dunks. He's had a nice little resurgence lately, Johnson. He's had a couple nice games.
Yeah, and he'll do that. I think this is par for the course with Amir. He'll have a few nice games, and he'll kind of have those stretches where, not so great. But, and I want to give a shout-out to Avery Bradley, who played some pretty nice defense on Paul George. That was a nice little revelation. Paul George out there, has what, 8 inches on Avery Bradley. That was a nice fourth quarter, kept Paul George largely in check. You know, did not let him put the ball on the floor and drive to the rim and get to the line.
Yep, and don't look now, but over the last four games, aka since getting back to full health, the Celtics are forcing turnovers on 16.6% of opposing possessions, which would lead the league for the entire year. So Celtics defense, back to what we thought it was going to be. Yep. Celtics offense, back to what we thought it was going to be. As we kept stressing, guys, let them get healthy and they'll be fine.
Yep.
And here it is. They're healthy and they're fine.
They're okay. Look, they're 17-12 after tonight. They've won four in a row. They are the hottest team in the Eastern Conference at the moment with four straight wins. At 17-12, they are solidly in the third seed. Only a few games behind Toronto, and we're not even at Christmas yet. So a lot of things can happen. There's a ton of basketball to be played. Now, obviously, Charlotte, New York, Chicago, Indiana, those are all teams that are still within striking distance. But, I mean, obviously, Indiana does not look good. But the Celtics are, look, they're the third seed, getting ready for an important stretch. Again, OKC Friday. Then the Sunday noon Christmas Day matchup, kicking off a full slate of the unofficial official kickoff to the NBA season against the Knicks, a rematch against Memphis at Cleveland, which obviously is tough, then Miami, then they finally get a weekend off. So a big stretch. But here's the positive thing, 12 of their next 17 games are at home. So a very road-heavy schedule now gives way to a home-heavy schedule. Hopefully the Celtics can get things together at home. They're actually, I don't know if that's good, they're 6-5 at home. So as opposed to 11-7 on the road. So hopefully they can get a nice little stretch of home cooking and they can get their act together at home. But things are starting to come together. So that's good news. All right, Jay, mystery machine time. Let's bang mystery this sucker machine, out. Baby. I need to put together like a little audio thing when we say mystery machine. There's like a sound effect or something. we need to dress this thing up.
We should definitely have a mystery machine sound effect.
Something. I'll come up with something. That will not be it. That will absolutely not be it. We're getting closer. We're taking baby steps closer. All right. Put them together, Jay.
The mystery machine.
That might be it. That might be just going to cut that out and drop it in every time from now on for the mystery machine. All right. Let's do this. As we know, the mystery machine from Jaylen Brown over the summer posted the picture of the mystery machine. He wants to know who's going for a ride. So every week we pick five guys to go for a ride. But we know Isaiah Thomas is on the mystery machine. We know Al Horford's on the mystery machine. Those guys are mainstays. So can we both agree that those two guys are on?
I mean, how are we going to keep Isaiah off after 44 points the other night?
Right.
And then 14 in the last 6 minutes tonight. I think it's safe to say he's on. I think it's safe to say Al Horford deserves to be in the mystery machine as well. We'll put those guys in there. Although Al Horford, another guy with a shooting slump right now. I'm not worried at all, but he's another guy with a shooting slump.
Yeah, he's struggling a little bit with 2 of his last 20 from 3 or something. But that's okay. He'll figure that out. Not a big deal. He had a clutch basket the other night. He still checked in with 11 rebounds. And he had that. I tweeted out a picture. You know, he got the ball in the post on a switch. So he had Teague in the post, and they ended up triple teaming him. Swung it out to Jay Crowder, who got it right away to Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas, in the clutch, had a 3-pointer with nobody within 4 feet of him, thanks to that Al Horford effect. So yeah, he's on. So Jay, please, we're gonna go three. You get two, and I'll take one.
I got Avery Bradley first. That yep. defense on Mike Conley the other night, playing Paul George well despite giving up 8 inches. Avery Bradley, welcome to the Mr. Machine, my friend.
I like that. That's another good one. I'm going to go with Jay Crowder, because Jay has had some quietly great games, and tonight was another great one. A plus 15, a team high plus 15 in this game. His impact, he had 5 steals against the Heat. He had just a nice, he's having a nice contribution, doing a lot of things. Tonight was 15 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal. I like his, he's returning to health, and he's going to be Mr. Versatile. And I think Jay Crowder definitely is in on the mystery machine. Now, last pick.
I'm putting in Amir Johnson, man. Give me Amir. Give me Amir. Amir has been off malign this year. He doesn't seem to be playing with the same force that he used to. His balance has seemed weird at times, but he's starting to come along, I think. And Amir Johnson, a little revival here, some great defense, a few dunks against the Pacers. May just be recency bias, but Amir is on the mystery machine. He's in there, man.
Okay. Good one. Quick, knock that sucker out. I should have let you go first. I should have gone first, because then I, if I had the last pick, would have put you on the mystery machine for podcasting with your bad back. But
oh, I mean, everybody knows that that was just a heroic act. We don't even need to.
You get to ride on the roof. We'll strap you to the roof.
Did you see Mark D'Amico of Celtics.com skip the game tonight for a little stomach bugs?
Oh,
come on. You got some more writing toughness than that.
Felger would have gone to the game. Sorry, Mark. That is totally unwarranted. That's a horrible cheap shot. Before we wrap this up, I want to give a little shout out to my boy Nick Stevens, who you might know as Fitzy, that super crazy Patriots fan. He plays that character. He's had Townie News. If you're a Boston person, you're a Patriots fan, you definitely know Fitzy. You definitely know Nick Stevens. He's been a buddy of mine for a while. He just got a gig at afternoons on WAAF. And I just want to give him a shout out, because he's a good guy and good things happen to good people. So if you are in Boston in January and you're looking for some entertainment, tune in to Nick Stevens' show on WAAF in afternoons. Go to the AAF website to get the details on times and all of that stuff. But again, good things happening to good people. Nick Stevens is a good dude, and it's nice to see him get this gig, and Boston will be better for it. Congrats to you, buddy. All right, that's it. That's the week. A pretty successful week for the Celtics. 4 games in a row they have won, capped off by a 109-102 win in Indiana against the Pacers. Isaiah Thomas is awesome, and so are we. Give us 5 stars to show your love on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, spread the word. Like I said last night, when you spread the word and rate us 5 stars, it's like paying us without actually giving us money. Someone else gives us money. You just have to give us the 5 stars. Spread the word. The more people that listen, the more you help us out. That's how it works. And listen to the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network, our friends at Locked On Fantasy, Locked On NBA. If you want to check out the Locked On Thunder, they're going to be talking about the game. You want to check out Locked On Knicks or Grizzlies. Those, all of our opponents, they do great stuff. Check them out. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.